Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London. He is our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference that is again happening in early November, the very start of November of this year. And he also writes the Gold Newsletter. Now, Brian, we're going to focus on the more precious metal stocks. As the commentary that we've been sharing for the last couple of weeks is that the stocks that are doing pretty well are more the majors and those streaming and royalty companies, more those considered safer, larger cap plays. But over the last week and a half now, we have seen a general rebound in some of these juniors. Now, we do need to consider that some of these juniors almost went through a washout, a waterfall decline there about 3 weeks ago that devastated, I know, a lot of investors. But if you were in there in the last week, week and a half buying, then I think you can be up anywhere from, 50%, even more than that in some of these better juniors. Take us through your strategy recently, how you've been playing these juniors.
Well, I've been buying, frankly. You know, we've had a lot of the companies that I have been recommending in Gold Newsletter over the past few months. I didn't own, frankly, because either I was pretty much didn't have the liquidity at the time. And fortunately, about a month or so ago, I was able to take some profits off the table, and I've been deploying that in the market and actually buying some of the stocks I've been recommending. And as you say, they're up 20 to 50% across the board, the half dozen or so that I've been focusing on. And there's probably four or five other ones that I really want to buy right now. You know, what we're looking at here, we were just talking, you and I, before we got on, about that interview of Paul Tudor Jones on CNBC. And it was just fantastic. I thought he really capsulized and summarized everything, especially when he said that, you know, the amount of liquidity the Fed has already injected into this market, some on the order of $1 trillion already. It took 8 months for them to do anything like that after the 2008 crisis. And we've done that much in about a week and in this crisis. And there's plenty more to come. Powell was on the media circuit this morning, essentially saying, clearly saying that it's a blank check, which is, you know, what they've already said in Fed speak. But he stressed that whatever it takes, there's an open checkbook, and they're going to deploy whatever is necessary. So we are getting the kind of tsunami of monetary stimulus that I and, you know, a lot of our colleagues in this hard money, sound money industry have been predicting would happen over the next 3 to 5 years. And we're getting it over the course of 3 to 5 days. Everything's on turbo now. They've dialed it to 11, and the repercussions are going to be tremendous for our precious metals and mining stocks down the road. We just have to get there. We're still in this very unstable, highly volatile region right now, but this is the time. I think this is a time to buy some of the better juniors at the market, just get in and then put some stink bids in lower and hope that you get filled if there's some more volatility.
So, Brian, one of the nuances of this market, too, is that, yes, there is an environment here for precious metals to do very well because of the fear that's out there and because of all the money that is being created on a central bank and government level. But sometimes, actually a lot of the time, these gold stocks can move hand in hand with other markets, the broad averages as well. And that's been one of the, I think, keys here is recently we have seen a little bit of a stability move in these U.S. markets, which has been, I think, spreading money around, which is helping these juniors as well. How important is it in your eyes to also see U.S. markets not just continue these waterfall declines?
Yeah, I think that's very important. Very good point there you're making, Corey, because as you know, in our discussions for the last few years now, I've stressed and you've stressed that in a liquidity event, a liquidity crunch like we had in 2008, that No market, no sector is spared, and gold would sell off along with stocks and everything else because it's the piggy bank that's cracked open in times of crisis. But that once you got through that unsettled, very volatile stage, then the monetary stimulus would kick in, and then all correlations go to one. When you have that flood of liquidity coming into the markets from central banks, then it's bullish for equities, it's bullish for precious metals, it's bullish for mining stocks, it's bullish for commodities, it's bullish for bonds. Everything is, you know, it's all central bank driven, monetary policy driven. And so they all go up together and at different rates, et cetera. But in a liquidity crunch, they're all, you know, they throw the baby out with the bathwater and everything goes down. Typically, and generals still believe that gold is contracyclical, but they're, you know, they're living in the past. Right now, everything is driven by monetary policy, and gold's going to do very well. I think we're going to get to record levels on a nominal basis in gold, and maybe even on a real basis. And mining stocks are going to soar, but that's not saying that equities are going to crash or even underperform. I mean, the broader equity markets. We don't need them to fail for precious metals and mining stocks to succeed. But it will be a bumpy ride going ahead. There's no doubt there will be volatility, but the underlying trends are very much in favor of precious metals and mining stocks.
They absolutely are. Well, there is that balance there, that nuance of mining stocks, just because the race for cash can hit those stocks very hard, and it all depends on the type of stocks you're looking at. Those majors, they benefit directly from a higher gold price. The juniors benefit later on, after the majors have already built up cash positions, and when their assets get depleted and they need to go out and buy some more projects. They're not at that level right now, and quite frankly, this volatility does also shy some of those majors away from making these transactions. That being said, when you're looking at junior stocks, you said you're being selective. I think you have to be selective. What attracts you in terms of juniors when you're doing your research?
Well, I guess I have to say, do as I say and don't do as I do, because I really think the companies with large scale resources are the ones that are going to benefit more quickly. Companies, you know, like Revival Gold, I picked up a slug of that at 40 cents a few days ago, and it's at 65 this morning. That's a great example of a company that's going much higher because it has 3 million ounces in a great jurisdiction, and it's going to be high up on the target list for the majors. And there is that other factor that you hinted at the M&A activity. The majors now are making money hand over fist at current metals prices, and they're one of the few industrial sectors that are actually making money right now, and making a lot of money. So that disparity, that valuation inefficiency in the markets is going to close up. So I think, yes, majors producing are going to benefit, but the companies in the junior sector that have big resources that are going to be on the shopping list of the majors, those are great deals right now. That said, I have been buying, in addition to a company like Revival that's in development, more so development than exploration, I've been buying a few exploration stocks out there that I know their targets very well. I know that they're funded for drilling. I know that by the summer they're going to have drill results in. And by the time the drills start turning, they're likely to be trading for 2 or 3 times today's prices. So I've been focusing on a few of those plays as well.
Now, regarding Revival, the company recently had to, unfortunately, lower their private placement, but it still seems like they should be able to raise some money to keep the project going. They're located in Idaho, too, which is, I think you can argue, still an emerging state when it comes to exploration, but there are some good projects there, and we followed Revival for a while. Yes, they just released a new resource, and they do have some plans to expand on that resource. But how are you weighing different jurisdictions, this being Idaho, and also the fact that, you know, what? Companies do need to be a bit tighter with their money right now, and that can slow down the growth of resources.
Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with Idaho. I think Idaho's really an opportunity. One of the things I think investors looking at that jurisdiction need to understand is that it's a learning process. It's a learning process for the companies operating there on how to operate, how to get permitted. And it's a learning process by on behalf of the state and learning what they need to go through to adequately cover all the bases and make sure that projects go ahead on a fair, equitable, and environmentally sound basis. The situation there is actually fortunate for new companies coming in that there was a lot of previous mining and development in Idaho that wasn't done from an environmentally sound basis, in that the only practical way to clean up those sites is through redevelopment and companies producing and rebuilding projects on a sound environmental basis and business basis. And that's what's happening. And that those kinds of mitigation efforts are happening through new development. So there's a bit of a struggle. We saw that with Midas Gold, that it's been delayed a bit. But then you look at people like Paulson coming in and taking over an entire $35 million financing for Midas. You look at Revival, and that financing was, yes, it was a brokered deal. They dialed it back and they did it on a non-brokered basis for $1 million. And who put up that money? The current shareholders and management team. You have to be encouraged as a shareholder when you see the people who know the project best putting their own blood on the table, as it were, to finance the company.
Yeah, and that company is good at conserving cash as well. And that is one aspect that you do need to look for in these companies. Make sure that they are in some way cutting costs and at least managing their cash, because we don't know how long this shutdown is going to go on for. And this shutdown directly relates to it being tougher for companies to raise money. Brian, thanks for chatting with us today. I hope you're doing well, bunkered up at home, and that everything around you, at least grocery-wise, is still available, because, boy, oh boy, it is some very interesting times that we are all living through, going through it all together. Thanks for your time today, Brian.
Thank you, Corey, and I hope you and your family are safe as well.